the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right, big news all day long coming out of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of anybody better to talk to about this right now than Professor Alan Dershowitz, famed attorney, and the center of a lot of attention of late. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed this, Alan, but everybody's asking you to comment on things, and then the president calls you and asks you to defend him. All right, let's go through the two big things here from today just alone. Justice Kennedy leaves the Supreme Court. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes because he's been the swing vote, and where does that leave the direction of the court for the next generation? Perhaps we'll talk about that, but. The labor case it is specifically about Illinois and will now have ramifications for the nation, where union members are no longer, or people who are working government jobs that are union organized jobs but do not want to be a part of the union itself are now going to be allowed to not have to pay dues to that union. And there was a freedom of speech issue surrounding mm-hmm. political donations. Was that a wise decision by the court, do you think?
Well, it's a very tough issue because you do have First Amendment rights on the one hand. On the other hand, you have the free rider issue. Why should these guys get a free ride and not have to pay for collective bargaining? One thing unions might consider doing is tossing these guys and saying, we're not bargaining for you. We're bargaining only for people who pay dues. If you don't want to pay dues, fine, bargain on your own. Try to get a good deal with the government. But we're not going to give you free bargaining. I don't know whether that would work, but there is another side to this issue. And the other side to the issue is that some people are getting a free ride and others are paying. The other possibility is unions just stop getting involved in politics and just work on getting better wages and better conditions. And maybe these guys will say, all right, we'll pay our dues now. But the current situation is not tenable, where a whole bunch of people get free services from the union and they don't have to pay for it.
Professor, I want to ask you about Roe v. Wade, which is one of the issues that has become front and center because Kennedy was a swing vote on that.
Right.
Now you're looking at, you had the president on the campaign trail promise that he would appoint pro-life judges to the Supreme Court. That was a campaign promise, and he's actually been very true to his campaign promises, like it or not.
Right.
But now you have a situation where several Republican women, Murkowski and Collins, have already come out to say, we respect legal precedent, and we won't vote for someone who's pro-life. Maybe that couldn't even pass. Is that something when you look at that, what do you see?
Well, there are two kinds of conservative justices. One, like Justice Scalia, who says, I don't believe in precedent. I didn't swear to uphold the decisions of my former colleagues, only to uphold the Constitution. And there are those who say, look, I'm a real conservative. I believe in precedent. I'm not going to overrule 40-year-old decisions. And so it really depends on what kind of a conservative president Trump appoints. He could appoint a pro-life person who says, look, if I were there in 1973, I would have voted the other way in Roe versus Wade, but so many years have passed since then, so much reliance has been placed on that decision, I'm going to go with the precedent. Now, of course, yesterday's decision about the labor unions overruled years and years of precedent, so you just never know. I have to tell you, from a political point of view, the worst thing that the Republicans could do would be to reverse Roe versus Wade. Right now, Roe versus Wade gives them women who vote Republican, moderate Republicans who vote Republican, because they know their daughter or their sister's rights to get an abortion is protected by the Supreme Court. If a national election ever became a referendum on a woman's right to choose, women's right to choose would win, and the Republicans would lose. So I don't think the president's going to want to return us to the bad old days of back alley abortions. And I don't think the American public would accept that.
Well, there are some people today, Jeffrey Toobin at CNN, I know that you've...
He's just dead wrong. He's just
all right, well, let me,
my former student.
Yeah, he's your former student. Just going to point that out. But he is arguing. Let me say what he's arguing for me. You tell me he's wrong. You are a Harvard law professor, Alan Dershowitz.
Right.
I know
what he said.
Yeah, let me tell everybody else what he said. He said that abortion could be illegal in the United States within the next year and a half. And here's his theory on it, which is that as many as 20 states will now move to make abortion legal on the state and then take it to the Supreme. You know, obviously they'll be sued for that. They will go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will decide, that abortion can be made illegal.
Well, Justice Roberts would never accept that. Justice Roberts will vote even though his own preference would be to overrule Roe versus Wade, he will vote to uphold Roe versus Wade. So I would bet Jeffrey Epstein Jeffrey Toobin, yeah, a very good dinner that that result will not come about in a year or two or five or ten or ever.
Okay. But it does become a political issue, because as much as I think lawyers especially think of these things, you know, solely in the silo of the legal world and in, you know, the canons of law, there's no question that they're impacted by the politics that are exogenous. And in this particular case,
it was 100 years ago. It was 100 years ago when an observer said the Supreme Court's follow the electoral returns. And of course they do. And if you didn't believe that, just look at Bush versus Gore, 5-4, right, all five Republicans voting one way, all five Democrats voting the other way. And, you know, we're seeing more and more of these 5-4 partisan decisions, and it diminishes the credibility of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is becoming a less credible institution as it becomes more partisan.
But aren't you worried, though? I mean, I can't help but get I have trouble sleeping at night now, and for a lot of reasons.
You shouldn't have trouble sleeping at night. Think about this. How often does the Supreme Court actually impact your life?
Well, I think this union argument is an Illinois case, and I think many people
It's an Illinois case. It doesn't impact your life. It doesn't impact the life of union members. It means that, you know, they're going to get a few less votes. These decisions are not nearly as important as presidential decisions and legislative decisions. We tend to overrate the Supreme Court in terms of its importance. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Supreme Court has said prayer in the public school is illegal. All over the country, we're seeing prayer in the public schools. They're just disregarding the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has said you can ban adult pornography. Just turn on your phone, press three buttons, you have adult pornography.
Two.
The Supreme Court is not that important in the daily life of American citizens. It's way overrated. And this comes from somebody who taught Supreme Court opinions for 50 years. Mm-hmm. I'm much more interested in how the legislature and the executive decide. They really do have an impact on our lives. The Supreme Court, less so.
Who do you think President Trump will appoint? And I don't mean the name. I mean, what kind of justice amongst the list of names he submitted?
A Republican conservative who will satisfy his base. The big question is whether he appoints somebody who believes in following precedent. And I just don't know the answer to that question.
Do you get the sense that the president...
I mean,
you've spent a lot of time with him now at this point.
Not a lot. I've only met him three times in my life.
Okay, but yeah. Okay, all right. But you have a sense, I think, more... I'm hoping you have a greater sense to answer this question. Do you get the sense that on stuff like this, he's going to rely more on a list that's handed to him by Heritage or, you know, some other think tank type than he is going to on his own gut on this, because this is not where he comes from?
No, both. I think he is going to rely on the list to decide who he interviews. And then he has very strong feelings based on his interviews. And I think that he will pick somebody who he likes. By the way, that was true of President Clinton. President Clinton didn't like a few people who were on the list, and he just didn't appoint them. So I think presidents make decisions based on a variety of factors.
We've forgotten about this because it's 48 hours old now. But in terms of the family separations, now a judge has set a 30-day deadline for families to be reunited, the kids to be reunited. What do you make of all of that's happening there from a legal standpoint? Where does this thing land eventually?
Well, I think it goes to the Supreme Court, but I think that Trump loses here because they're in the United States. They're our responsibility. It's not like somebody from Yemen who wants to come over to the United States and has no rights. A child separated from his parents in Texas has rights under our Constitution. And so I think the president will lose that one.
All right. We'll leave it there. Alan Dershowitz, former future Supreme Court justice. Yes? No? Are you taking your name out?
Are you on the list?
He hung up.
He's like, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Done with this.
So maybe he will be.
We didn't get a chance to ask him if Judge Jeanine Pirro has a chance. She's not on the list.
All right.
But you think there's a chance?
I think there's every chance that he's going to ask Jeanine Pirro to be the next Supreme Court justice. And I am going to, what we're going to do is, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we are going to have our own interview process between Judge Jeanine Pirro, Judge Mathis, and Judge Judy.
And not our Judy.
No, Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judy Shineland. We're going to have them each audition for us for the Supreme Court.
Okay. See what's what. Based on their prior decisions that we're looking at, their judgments?
Yes.
Good.
We're going to make a decision because I think he's going to land on one of those three because they fit all the qualifications. They worked on television.
And they're judges.
Yes.
You forgot. I know
there's two qualifications.
Secondary.
One, be a judge. Two, worked on television. All right, let's find out from our own Judge Judy. Judgy Judy.
The only real judge.
Yeah, what's happening at the top of the hour?
Not one, not two, but three tornadoes touching down in northern Illinois last night.
All right, what's happening in the roadways, Violetta?